السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي، وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, as we mentioned last week, that in this month of Rabiul Awwal, all over the world, seminars, conferences, convention halls, masajid, madaris, everywhere that you can think of, the life of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discussed. And indeed, to discuss any aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's life is full of sawab and full of reward. But unfortunately, we have limited the discussion of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's life to just listening. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, there was no question of just listening. As soon as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave any instruction, any command, then read the books of Hadith Sharif, that you will find immediate implementation of those commands, those orders of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We have become very, very selective as far as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's seerah is concerned. We discuss different aspects of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. But from there we only select that which our nafs is comfortable with. That which goes against our nafs and that which goes against shaitan, then we are not happy to implement those sunnats in our lives. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his teachings are till the day of Qiyamah. And whosoever will implement the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he will see the barakat of that. I mentioned that even if a non-Muslim has to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam in his business, even if a non-Muslim has to implement the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to marriage, even if a non-Muslim has to implement in his life the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam with regards to eating and drinking and many other aspects, he will see the benefits of that. I am not saying he will see the barakat of that. For barakat, the person has to be a mu'min, he has to be a Muslim, and to get jannat in the akhirat, and to get the raza and pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person has to be a believer. What I am saying is that even if that person implements some aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life and teachings in his own life, then even though he may be a non-Muslim, but he will see the benefits of that. For example, with business, we know that it is honesty, truthfulness, revelation of any defect that may be in the garment or any item that you are selling, and so many other things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught. Now, even if a non-Muslim had to implement it, he'll see the benefits. With regards to business again, or borrowing and lending, as far as interest is concerned, and the destruction that riba brings. Now, even if a non-Muslim had to abstain from taking interest and giving interest, he will see the benefits of that. Look at the destruction that took place all over the world. No matter how much of money the people may have made by getting increased interest on their investments, finally what happened? So therefore, this nikah also is a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it so happens that it is in the month of Rabiul Awwal, and we are discussing the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the different angles and different aspects. So today, in this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, this nikah having taken place, so therefore it's appropriate that we should discuss this sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, nikah is my way of life. He says, it's my way of life. It is my sunnat, my way of life. So if it is the way of life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he has given instructions with regards to this way of life, that what should others do? So So if you have to look at the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has addressed the prospective bride, the prospective groom, both parties, the bride's party and the groom's party. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has addressed everybody. I've discussed this at length, that if you have to look at it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has addressed the young people also, those who have the ability to marry. Ya ma'ashara shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Then they should make nikah, they should get married. The benefits that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that it will enable the person to lower his gaze from haram. And it will be a protection for the person from zina. And give you the meaning that from zina, from adultery, or from fornication, it will be a protection. We know that in this world there is nothing but an avalanche. The fitnas are just rising by the day. And one of the major fitnas of our time is this same indulgence in zina. Whether the person is a priest, or whether she is a nun, or whether he is a monk, whoever they may be, no matter what kind of loud and bold claims they make of piety, but at the end of the day, we know that what kind of fitnas are prevalent. Look at the rise in illegitimate children. The rise in the percentage of illegitimate children. Look at around the world, the kind of corruption that it has brought. It is beyond control. And it is being fueled by our cinemas, by our theaters, by our media, newspapers, television and everything else. They are fueling this even more and more, so that man may become like a free animal. There is no need to marry, there is no need to really tie oneself down, and they actually say that why should we tie ourselves down and commit ourselves when we can live as husband and wife without marrying? And then look at the consequences of that. Now all that is open secret, there is no such thing as unknown to us. So therefore at such a time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's instruction and direction is that the person who has the ability to marry, and again I repeat that the ability to marry does not mean that the person has sufficient money to hire the biggest hall in the country, or to pay 100,000, 200,000 mehr or something, or to invite a large number of people. Nikah is simple. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is my way of life, then it is simple. We say that shadi, shah, sheen, has got three nuktas, three dots on the sheen. So we must just blow away those three dots and make it sadi, simple. Finish. Blow away those halls, blow away those big, big crowds at the weddings, blow away the 7-course meals, blow away a few of those dots, and finish. The wedding becomes simple. Witnesses, 2 witnesses in the masjid, any time, Zohar, Maghrib, Isha, Namaz. There is a built-up congregation at the time of Jummah Salat. And in this masjid again, it's all free also. You don't have to pay for anything. So how simple and easy nikah is. We are making life difficult for ourselves and for our children. Especially when we try to imitate and emulate and ape those people who have got nothing to do with deen and with sharia. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much of virtues he gave of this nikah. If a person after nikah is not being prevented from haram, then it is no fault of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadith sharif. What he says is true, and it will remain true till the day of qiyamah. If somebody says that there was one river flowing here where this masjid is built, but it all dried up, then we can believe it. It's possible there could have been even an ocean here. If somebody says there was a huge mountain here, but no more the mountain is there, now we got the railway tracks there, then we can believe it. Nowadays, what they do with the mountains? They slice through it. But if somebody says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he said, it has been disproven, then we will say that there is something seriously wrong with this person. But there could be a weakness on our side, that after the person has married, but he is still not giving up his lustful glances at other women. The person is not giving up his videos and movies and TVs. The person is not giving up his watching all the Hollywood and Bollywood. So then this person is not going to be satisfied with that wife that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him as a protection from zina. He's not going to be satisfied, because he's casting his lustful glances everywhere. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's great ihsan upon us that he told us to lower our gazes from haram. All these things that we have been prevented from, it is no ihsan of ours on deen and sharia. It is something that Allah Ta'ala has chosen for us, or He has ordered us to do for our own benefit. One person said that when I extend my hand to one secretary that works there in the factory, or some other women that work there, or when they extend their hands to shake my hand, so he says, I feel very embarrassed not to give my hand and to tell them that Islam tells me not to do so. What must I do? He says, they feel that you are insulting them, that you are not giving your hand to them. They feel that it is a sign of respect that the woman extended her hand, so you must shake her hands, and if possible, even kiss her hand too. That they will regard as respect. So I said, simple, just tell her that I have a wife, and you all are talking all the time of human rights, human rights. So Islam is a religion which has taught me human rights. If I am going to shake hand with you, and if suddenly that electric current flows into my hand and then into my heart, then I will lose my love for my wife. So I will be causing harm to a member of your gender, that I was supposed to have extreme love for my wife and not for anybody else's wife or daughter. Now by this shaking of hand, I will be encouraged to look somewhere else. So I do not want to do that. I want to respect my wife and I want to fulfill her rights and I want her to enjoy her dignity and that respectful position that Islam has given to her. Explain to her something in that direction, that it is the fulfillment of the same rights that you all are talking about. Is this rights that the husband is going around shaking hands with every woman and associating with every woman, socializing with every woman? There is no kind of parda, no kind of hijab, nothing. Then what is going to happen? There's nothing going to happen other than that these homes are going to be on fire. Ask us, because we deal with these cases every day. How many homes are on fire? Husband and wife, there's no happiness at all. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and as Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi has also related this hadith sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person is miskeen, miskeen, miskeen. Now we know miskeen, very poor person. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that person is miskeen, 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 so the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'een asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is that person so miskeen, so poor that you are saying three times miskeen, miskeen? That person who was, I'm explaining to you that hadith sharif, that person whom Allah Ta'ala gave the ability to marry, but he does not undertake nikah. So then he is a very, very poor person. Therefore, sahaba asked Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even if that person has great amount of wealth, then too is a miskeen that he does not make nikah. Said, yes, then too is miskeen if he doesn't make nikah. And then he said, miskeena, miskeena, miskeena. That woman is very, very poor, very, very poor, very, very poor. Even though she may have got a lot of wealth, but if she doesn't make nikah, she got the right proposal, she is not accepting the proposal for various reasons. And many a times those proposals are not accepted because they already have got long lasting love relationship that's coming through from the school days, and the parents now want them to marry somebody else who has come, but he's got good akhlaq, good character, and they are turning it down. We're not talking about those people who just come like chances there, who are drug addicts and alcoholics, and then they say, we heard one hadith sharif that you must make nikah, so therefore how can you refuse and turn down the proposal because I'm wanting to make nikah? So at such a time, of course, you'll turn it down. But I'm talking about where proper proposal has come and she is turning it down. So she's miskeena because Allah Ta'ala has created that natural urge in human beings. Now if they're not going to fulfill that natural urge in the proper Islamic manner, then they are going to commit zina. And then look at the consequences of that zina. How the whole society is upside down. Nobody has got any kind of peace of mind. People who are watching those programs on the television and on the internet, when they are watching those, there are so many of them that are writing, believe me, I'm in the masjid, it's a Jummah day, I'm with wuzu, we are about to make namaz, how can I be speaking lie? When those people are saying themselves, so many of them, not one, because we get letters and emails and phone calls and SMSs from around the world, they're saying themselves that after watching certain kind of programs and after watching certain women on the television screen, When we go into sajda also, in front of us is nothing but that woman and her shameless parts. Now, is that sajda that we are making before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or we are making sajda before that woman? Those kind of idols are coming in front. And besides that, all other things that are happening. But they say we don't have the himmat and the courage to give it up. Allah ta'ala has given us the himmat, but if we are not going to use it, then how are we going to succeed? For a little while, there could be some kind of enjoyment, some kind of happiness. But as those who are attending the programs here, they may have heard many times, Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi bagawat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi bagawat hai. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. That in haram there is a little bit of enjoyment. Nobody denies that. If a person has stolen money, 1 billion, 1 million or 100,000, whatever it is, he's going to enjoy it for a little while. The person who has stolen somebody's car for a little while is going to enjoy that beautiful Rolls Royce with all its air conditioning and with its music and with everything else. The person who has committed adultery, fornication for a little while, he may get some enjoyment. But after that, look at the problems that it brings. When this person is now caught, then where will that enjoyment go? So he says, Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat. It is stolen enjoyment. It is not the enjoyment that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us. Because that enjoyment which Allah ta'ala will give will come into the heart. Irrespective of the person's outside condition. He could be sick, he could be weak, he could be having no money in his pocket, he could be living in a shack, he could be living in a hut. Or he could be living in a palace, he could be living in a mansion, he could be having a beautiful car and a beautiful home and a beautiful wife. It's immaterial what the person has or doesn't have. But if he is going to get the enjoyment with Allah Ta'ala's hukam, then he will be happy and he'll get sukoon under all conditions. So this kind of enjoyment is like the rat gets enjoyment in a piece of cheese. That the rat is extremely happy and says, what a wonderful landlord of this house, or what a wonderful master of this house. Look at the type of cheese also they gave me, selected one from the best supermarket. But what is it therefore? It is just to trap that rat. So that enjoyment that we seem to be getting in sins and in haram, believe me, it is nothing but a trap. Sooner or later we will see the effects of that in our family, on our children and in our society. The children will become disobedient, disrespectful, and look what they are saying and what they are doing. Because we get a new audience every time that there is a nikah here, that young boy of 4 years of age, what did he tell his mother after watching the TV the whole day for many, many days? I will hang you, I will shoot you, I will slice you, what I will do to you, that small 4-year-old child is saying. After watching those films all the time. The daughter wants to throttle the mother's neck. The son wants to shoot the father, 19-year-old. And he says he even opened the door and he went in with a gun because the parents are elderly. He was just about to fire the shot. And he says, by the way, one of your talks, I was sitting in the masjid one day and I heard. And that just flashed in front of me. I pulled back and I went back to my room. And it happened immediately after watching a certain film. He even mentions that film name and the actors in that film. So let us not be naive. Let us not think that everything is rosy outside there. And let us enjoy ourselves. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palane wale se ye kaisi bagawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. How many people after that little while of enjoyment, lifelong regret. I still cannot forget, and I've mentioned it already so many times, that young person, I don't mention any name so you won't know who. But he came running to the same office here. And he says, Maulana, please, please make dua, please make dua. I said, for what? Why are you looking so excited? Why are you tearing? What has happened? He said, I committed zina with one Hindu girl at the university. And she has fallen pregnant. Now the parents are after me, the brothers are after me, the family is after me. We'll chop you, we'll kill you, we'll shoot you, we'll murder you. I really don't know what to do now. Now where that enjoyment went after that little while. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created this institution of nikah for us. Time is up, so therefore I conclude, otherwise there's so many things that we can talk. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, out of His love and compassion and mercy and kindness for us, He has created this institution of nikah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated in his life. It is simple, it is easy, it is practical. It is ashal ajmal akmal. Very easy, very beautiful and perfect. Let us not complicate it and make it like something very, very difficult in our lives. The Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum ajmain, for them to make nikah was like how we make two rakat namaz, sunnat namaz. After we say, Ya Allah, we're making two rakat namaz, Allahu Akbar. How long that takes to make the two rakat namaz, simple as that it was for them to make nikah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal on the beautiful and mubarak teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah unite the hearts of the husband and wife. This nikah which has taken place, may Allah Ta'ala give them barakat, rahmat, mawaddat. May Allah Ta'ala make them fulfill each other's rights, and most important of all, fulfill the rights of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then everything will come right. If we're not going to fulfill those rights, those marriages won't work. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all.